men marching across a nation. Down Monroe Street in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Down Houston Street in San Antonio, Texas. Down the main street of everybody's hometown. Here comes the City Service Band of America. Yes, let the cymbals clang and the trumpets sound. From the famous Belasco Theater in New York City, your neighborly City Service gasoline and oil dealers proudly present the Band of America, conducted by Paul LaValle. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ford Bond speaking for City Service. Here's the world's most exciting music, spirited, patriotic music. First, a salute to the masked bands of the Christian high schools of Grand Rapids, Michigan, which next Friday will play under the baton of their guest bandmaster, Paul LaValle. Here's Pride of the West.
In car number 56. And Charlie, we have two alternates. Eddie Johnson from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, in number 26. And from Denver, Colorado, Johnny Tolan, in the 500-mile race for the first time, if he gets in car number 85. Our overall qualification average of the entire starting field was 136.409 miles per hour. This compares with last year's average of 135.504. Now, at the present time, the cars are on the starting line getting set to go for the very thrilling pace lap. And with our broadcasters spaced all around these grounds, we'll bring to you the coverage as they move around the south straightaway, the back stretch, the north turn, and back down the main stretch in front of the pagoda once again. And for the first lap as well, and then we're underway for the complete coverage of this year's 500-mile race. The official weather is now 85 degrees temperature, 58% humidity, wind 20 to 26 miles per hour out of the west and the southwest. And that's a bit more wind than we normally have had. There go the hundreds and hundreds of very colored balloons from a large tent placed directly behind the pit area. These balloons help to add to the pageantry. Earlier this morning, before we took the air, the Purdue University marching band came by and displayed their wares, their musical talent, in spelling out such words as T-O-N-Y for Tony Holman, the affable and friendly owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, who bought it some years ago from Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, the World War ace. Also, Wilbur Shaw. His name was spelled out by the band. He is the president and general manager of this track and a three-time winner. Now here's Mr. Morton Downey, the popular network star, singing Back Home Again in Indiana.
That I can see the gleaming caps of light still shining bright through the sycamores for me.
Just a few moments, the pace lap begins and the race gets underway. But now a brief word from your announcer.
To celebrate Mobil Oil's 50th anniversary, we'd like to give you a few more of Mobil Oil's famous firsts, this time on the sea. 1936, first with the flagship RMS Queen Mary. 1940, Mobil Oil was first with the flagship RMS Queen Elizabeth. 1952, first with the finest SS United States, the supreme example of the shipbuilder's art. This magnificent new liner has been designed to use Mobil Oil marine lubricants exclusively. As a matter of fact, every North Atlantic Blue Ribbon record holder since 1910 has been 100% lubricated by the makers of world-famous Mobil Oil. You too can enjoy the same dependable engine protection by stopping at your neighborhood Mobil gas dealers. Tell him to drain and refill the crankcase with world-famous heavy-duty mobile oil.
Wilbur Shaw, the president and general manager of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, has just given his instruction for gentlemen to start your motors, and they've done so. All 33 of these gleaming monsters in beautiful colors, strong, powerful, durable, as are the drivers. And all of your broadcasters on this presentation today have personally spent the entire month of May with these drivers and their mechanics and the car owners. And there's not a finer group of men you'd ever care to meet. Courage, skill, and sincerity, mingled with sportsmanship, make for the caliber of the driver in the 500-mile race. There's the starting bomb. In just a moment, the pace car will get underway. The gleaming white Ford convertible leading the 33 starters around this 2.5-mile oval. In this year's pace lap, also celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Ford Motor Company. And Mr. William Clay Ford will drive the car and thus becomes the fourth member of his family to drive a pace car in the 500. Edsel Ford, father of William Clay, started the family tradition in 1932 when he set the pace in a Lincoln V12. And the pace lap gets underway. Every car must get started under its own power, a bit of pushing by the mechanics, and if they're not all started, by the time the complete field comes around, the alternates will begin. And it looks as though they're all getting started. The last row is having a bit of trouble. Jimmy Rathman's back there, hasn't started his car. Duke Nalen and Dwayne Carter are still working, and the 11th row can't get away until the 10th row does. Passing by us now is the 8th row of Mike Nazarick and Marshall Teague. There goes Pat Flaherty. Duke Nalen gets going, gets a wonderful hand from the crowd, a very, very popular driver. And now, all cars are underway except one. They're still working on the last car in the lineup. Cal Nide, and they come around that dangerous southwest turn, hitting about 50 miles an hour, and here's Dick Pittenger.
Southwest turn. The field now is stretched out behind it. It's a little spotty at this point because, of course, these engines are keyed to run fast and they don't operate very well at slow speeds. The field now is getting cleaned out pretty well, and as they move into the south turn, the pace car now about halfway through it, the entire field is strung out now for about halfway around this 2.5-mile oval. The tail enders are on here. Duke Nalen waving as he goes by are stretched out pretty well. Now to Robin Wright on the backstretch.
Right out of the south turn, now comes the pace car, and evenly spaced behind him is the entire field. The pole car, Bill Vukovich, then Fred Agabation, then Jack McGrath, all coming very smoothly down. Now down the backstretch, right under the bridge, here in the center of the backstretch. The two last rows are strung out far behind. Now the pace car is going down through the back portion of the backstretch. The sounds you hear behind us are bombs being set off by spectators here on the backstretch at the Speedway. And far behind all the others, there comes the 11th row. Now they're rounding into shape as they go into the north turn. The pace car with Wilbur Shaw sitting up in it, we can see him in the field glasses there, keeping a careful eye on the entire field. Now they go into the turn, and the pace car is just coming into sight of Jim Shelton.
Thank you very much, Robin Bright. Yes, this is the big parade to the post. 33 thoroughbreds, you might say, getting ready for the Kentucky Derby of the auto racing world. And here is the pace car, Wilbur Shaw, standing up, motioning to the drivers, some to come forward, some to get back a little ways, others more or less going this way and that way. It's just a push and shove proposition. The back row, as yet, has not come in to view. They are now in the home stretch, however, as many cars as we can see, and I'm pretty sure that Sid Collins can pick up the cars from the Pagoda.
We see them coming down here, Jim. The pace car gets the field off to a flying start from a standstill in front of this Pagoda, and by the time it gets back around, it'll be hitting about 95 miles per hour, and you fans will hear the roar of the motors as they come by. A miracle of traffic control. These guinea pigs in a one-way highway, and there goes William Clay Ford. Wilbur Shaw gives the come around the southwest turn, and Dick Pittenger, give us the first five positions if you can.
Number one is Bill Vukovich in car number four. Number two is car number 88. Pretty aggravation moves into third, and they're already in the back stretch taking Robin.
Now, shooting out of the south turn comes Bill Vukovich, roaring down, followed closely by Manuel Aiello. Aiello is second, and third is Jack McGrath. They're tearing down the back stretch. Going into The north turn. Vukovic still leading as they come into Jim Shelton's view.
Well, that last lap didn't pay off, but this one certainly does. And here they come around the north turn. And it is Bill Vukovic, all right. Number 88, Manuel Lulo, is second. Number 5, Jack McGrath, is third. Number 59, Freddie Agavation, is fourth. They're in the stretch, and here is Sid.
We can't quite see them yet, Jim. It's still about a half a mile away. They're coming around that dangerous northwest turn, working down away in front of the pack. Is Billy Vukovic, who's 14, second, Manuel Lulo, 88. Tony Bettenhausen, third, in 98. Freddie Agavation, fourth, in 59. And Sammy Hanks, number 3, is fifth. Well, the race is away. And Tony Bettenhausen moved into fourth place. Vukovic has taken a fast start, and he's a boy who works for lap money. $150 per lap is what these lads receive, an increase of $50 over last year, and Vukovic is going to collect all he can. Last year's race, Vukovic dropped out 8 laps from the finish, leading almost all the time, setting new records all day long between Vukovic and the eventual winner, Troy Ruttman. A very exciting start it has been. And Billy Vukovic, as has been anticipated and expected and predicted by the experts here, took an early lead, and many experts said that Vukovic would win, but we have a long time to go. I know that you, friends, out near Fresno, California, listening on KMS, will be glad to know the fuel injection special, number 14, driven by Billy Vukovic, took the lead, and let's see how long he can hold it. Now, throughout the afternoon and the remainder of the morning here on our Central Daylight Time hookup, we'll be bringing you the standings as they occur, and we'll check to see whether Bill Vukovic increased the record of Duke Bale. Here's the second lap. Vukovic way ahead by at least 100 yards. Tony Bettenhausen second in 98. Third is Manuel Lulo in 88. Fourth, Freddie Agavation in 59. And fifth was Sam Hanks in car number 3. Bettenhausen moved up from fourth to second on that second lap. Tony Bettenhausen, the first time he's had a really strong car and should be a brilliant contender. Tony Bettenhausen, the boy who promised he would quit driving after the Milwaukee race last year, is back here at the Speedway this year, wearing, incidentally, a jet pilot's helmet of plexiglass. Charlie, I think I'll take a breather here, and let's see how you shape up the race at this moment.
Well, Bill Vukovic, Sid, as expected, took out in the lead, and we're waiting for the official time. We caught him on the second lap at just a little bit over 106, and that is up close to the 135-mile-an-hour mark. It is probably just under 135 on the second lap. We do not have the official speed as yet, but we're waiting to see whether or not a record was broken. And he was about 5 seconds ahead of the second car as they came around on the first lap, so very likely a record was broken on the very first lap. Now we're waiting for them. Here they come. Bill Vukovic leading in first place in a very close battle for second. As they cross the line, it's Tony Bettenhausen, followed by Emmanuel Lulo, and then Freddie Agavation, followed by Sam Hanks. The field has already begun to spread out, and very shortly, Vukovic will begin lapping some of the cars. They're roaring by, and most of the pack is coming by right now, as you can hear. But Bill Vukovic is leading now by about 10 seconds over his nearest competitor, who is Tony Bettenhausen, having a terrific battle with Manuel Ayulo in car number 88.
Bill Vukovic, Manuel Ayulo, Freddie Agavation, Tony Bettenhausen, and Art Cross. Vukovic in 14, Ayulo in 88, Bettenhausen 98, Agavation 59. Art Cross moved into fifth, 16. And we'll see who it was. Now let's switch to Jim Shelton on the north turn. Jimmy?
We've had a spectacular crash here, Sid. Andy Linding coming out of that backstretch, approximately 175 miles an hour, I imagine, crashed into the wall. We can't figure out why. Everything looked clear, but he crashed into the wall, spun around two or three times, went across the field. The boys dodged very, very well. However, one did not dodge, and he was smacked. And that was number 55, as we can see. This is not official, but it looks like it's Jerry Hoyt in number 55. Now back to Andy Linden. He is now out of the car. He is lying down on the ground. We don't know how seriously he is injured. Know to what extent, because number 55, Jerry Hoyt, did smack him across the as he came across the track. Jerry tried to miss him, but was unable to. As soon as we find out more details, we'll be back here at the north turn.
Jim, hang on just a second. Is the car burning by any chance?
No, the car apparently caught on fire momentarily. I guess that was from striking the wall and the friction there. It is not burning now. The ambulance is up here, and they are loading in Andy Linden. Andy Linden in car number 32. 32. Andy Linden is now being put on the stretcher and will be on his way to the hospital. We do not know the extent of his injuries as yet. By the way, Sid,
yes.
One other little word here. I believe Jerry Hoyt is in good shape. He's still in his car. He is now being towed by a wrecker. So he might get back in the race. I don't know.
Okay, Jim, thanks very much, and keep us up to date on what goes on out there. That's a bit of irony, since Andy Linden was the very first car to drop out of the race last year. At that time, he had an oil leak on the 20th lap. And this time, we haven't gotten the official lap as yet, but it's the first car out of the race in a far more spectacular and dangerous situation. And to bring you fans up to date, Bill Vukovich's first lap was a new track record. The old first lap record was set by Duke Malin in 1949. Vukovich's speed was 133.097. A new track record, almost 7 miles an hour faster than the old record held by Duke Malin. So if that's any indication of what we're going to get today, we should have a red-hot race. We'll be very anxious to pass along to you the information about Andy Linden and Jerry Hoyt. Here's the first car into the pits. It's Johnny Thompson in the Dr. Saborin Special, number 56, the first car to go in the pits. The second lap was 133.799, which is another new track record. The old one held last year by Jack McGrath was 129.366. So, Charlie, what do you think of those records being broken so soon here today?
Well, Sid, it was as they predicted. If the boys could get a clear track and could get off and running, that there would be a new record broken. Some of the boys are a little bit hesitant to drive very fast on that first couple of laps, but Bill Vukovich, of course, having a clear field and a fast car, really went to it. Now, we caught Vukovich leading by 6 seconds on this, the seventh lap, over Manuel Ayulo, who is in second place. Sid?
We'll be back with you, fans, in just a moment. Now, a brief word from your announcer. Speedway once again in the Pagoda, and here are the standings officially at the end of the second lap. Leading the race was Bill Vukovich in car number 14. Second, 98, Tony Bettenhausen. Third, 88, Manuel Ayulo. Fourth, Freddie Agabation in 59. Fifth, number 3, Sam Hanks. Sixth, number 5, Jack McGrath. Seventh, 32, Andy Linden. Eighth, Art Cross in car number 16. Ninth, Jerry Hoyt in number 55. And 10th, Johnny Parsons in car number 21. Of course, Jerry Hoyt was involved in the accident with Andy Linden, and Andy's car number was 32, Hoyt's 55. And we mention these numbers, fans, from coast to coast for the benefit of our local audience here of 5 Indianapolis radio stations who have programs and numbers in front of them from the daily newspaper. Vukovich's speed for two laps is a new record. The old record was set by Jack McGrath in 1952 and was a speed of 129.366. The new is 133.799. Now let's get some more information about that north turn accident, Jim Shelton.
Well, Sid, I can tell you that they did start Jerry Hoyt in car number 55. The wrecker came along and pulled him and started him, and apparently he is back in the race. I've been gazing down here at Andy Linden's car. Apparently, it's damaged extensively and, of course, couldn't get back in the race at all. The wrecker is now picking up the front end of it. Andy Linden, by the way, is on the way to the hospital right now. Get back to Andy Linden coming out of that back stretch. Everybody up here can't figure out why he hit the wall. There must be some reason, but it looked as though he went right along the side of the wall and eventually went straight in, whipped around across the track, and everybody trying to dodge him, and they did a mighty good job of that, with the exception of Jerry Hoyt, who did smack him a little bit, but not enough to put Jerry Hoyt out of the race. His car did go dead. They pulled him, and he's back in the race, apparently. All right, Sid.
Okay, Jim, thanks very much for keeping us up on that spectacular accident, the first one of the day, and we certainly hope we don't have any more. We're now in the 10th lap of the race, fans, and first is Bill Vukovich in car number 14, and the next three drivers are all in the very same lap. 59, Agamation is second. 16, Art Cross is third. 88, Manuel Ayulo is fourth, and one lap behind is number 98, Tony Bettenhausen. That's the standing at the end of nine laps going into the 10th lap. We'll try to find out what's happened to Duke Malin. We haven't seen him in quite some time. He's just way off the field. Here he comes by now. Must have missed him the last time around in that powerful Novi special. And a very popular driver here, the veteran of the track, driving his 10th race today. His teammate, Chet Miller, as you perhaps have read if you're a sporting fan, lost his life in a qualification practice trial here a week or so ago. Chet drove the other Novi special, and the checkered flag always eluded the very popular Chet Miller. But Duke Nalen is out today to try his best to bring home some award in memory of his teammate, Chet. And now Johnny Parsons, in number 21, has moved into fifth place as Tony Bettenhausen slips a bit behind into sixth. Parsons one lap behind. Now, we have another speed average. I don't believe it's a new record, however. Yes, it is. Another new record today, fans. Bill Vukovic in car number 14 at the end of four laps. Average speed, 134.048. 134.048. And that drops off the old record held by Jack McGrath last year, 1952, the fastest 500, which was 131.497 miles per hour. So after four laps, 10 miles, we have a new record, some 3 miles per hour faster than last year. And Billy Arnold, the winner in 1930, predicted that we'd have an average this year of over 130 miles an hour for the full 500. Charlie, what do you have over there, boy?
Sid, we have the standings at the end of the 11th lap as we picked them up and tried to get something of the interval. Bill Vukovic, of course, is leading, and he's leading by about half the length of the straightaway over Freddie Agabation in car number 59, while Art Cross in car number 16 is right behind Agabation. Manuel Ayulo in car number 88 is running in fourth, while Johnny Parsons in number 21 is running in fifth at the end of 11 laps. And the roar that you heard was from the engine of Bill Vukovic as he completes lap number 12. Now here's the second place man, Freddie Agabation, followed by Art Cross. So you can get something of the interval. And Manuel Ayulo running by in fourth. And Johnny Parsons and Sam Hanks are having quite a battle for fifth and sixth place. Tony Bettenhausen in car number 98 is in seventh. And Roger Ward in car number 92 is in eighth. Jack McGrath in car number 5 is ninth, and Gene Hartley in car number 51 is in 10th place. That's at the end of 12 laps. Sid?
All right, Charlie. The accident on the northeast turn involved Linden in car 32, who spun into the infield, as Jim Shelton reported to you. Jerry Hoyt in car number 55 also spun in order to miss Linden's car. He could have hit him, but he spun in order to miss him, but did not collide. Hoyt has resumed the race after a checkup in the pits, and Linden is officially out of the race. Andy Linden, who's been racing for some 6 years, his first appearance here was in 1951 when he started way back in the 11th row, 31st position, and finished fourth. Last year, Linden started in second spot in the middle of the first row and dropped out, the first man to leave the race after 20 laps with an oil leak. Qualified very well this year. Very fast boy, 136 miles per hour in qualification. Start right up there in the second row. Linden's had a lot of trouble here at the track in practice in 1951 before the qualification runs. He spun on the southwest turn doing 125 miles per hour, was headed the wrong way on the short south straightaway, staying clear of the wall, and later hit the fence and snapped it on the back stretch. He had a broken leg and a crushed heel when he was struck by a car he was attempting to warn away from his own wrecked car at Syracuse September 8th, 1951. And one of our pre-race broadcasts, before this year's 500, we spoke with Andy Linden. He told us he's been in four races this year and have been upside down in all four of them. So this makes 5 out of 5, a very bad average as far as luck is concerned for Andy. Here's the first car out of the race, aside from the accident of Linden, car number 56, John Thompson, out of the race on the 7th lap. Johnny Thompson, ignition trouble is the official cause. Car number 56, John Thompson, in the Dr. Saborin special, hailing from Springfield, Massachusetts. Your fans listening on our Speedway network in Springfield, Massachusetts, we offer our apologies to drop a man from your part of the country so soon. This boy has not had any experience here in the 500 before. Johnny Thompson, a rookie driver. Now we'll be back in just a moment with the standings to this point. Now a brief word from your announcer. Popular driver was driving the Bardol special. That was the sister car to the one driven by Sam Hanks, number 3. Cliff was a boy who'd never had too much luck here at the Speedway either, and he certainly didn't have any this year. He's listening to our broadcast right now in the Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, and on our way to the track this morning, Bill Frosch was roving about with our portable tape recorder, stopped off with me at the hospital, and got these few words from Cliff Griffith.
And we're about to talk with Cliff Griffith, the gentleman that we wish would certainly be out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with us today. However, Cliff is indisposed in the Methodist Hospital right now, but by golly, Cliff, I'm glad to see you coming along good. How do you feel?
Good morning, Will. I'm coming along pretty good. I'd like to say hello to all my fans, friends, and I sure wish I was out there rolling right along with the boys this morning. It's just wonderful to be able to talk to you.
Well, by golly, we're mighty glad, too. Have you got a favorite out there today, Cliff, or not?
Naturally, my teammate, Sam Hanks.
By golly, we wish Hanks all the luck in the world. Thanks to you. And we're glad you're coming along okay, Cliff. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, and wish you were out at the track. Now back to the pagoda.
Okay, Bill and Cliff Griffin, thank you very much. And it was quite an effort for Cliff to be on that tape because he is swathed in bandages and suffering tremendously from burns. And we wish him the best of luck in a speedy recovery. I know he's listening to us right now. The leader's speed for 10 laps is a new record. The old record of 132.538 miles an hour was set by Bill Bukovich in 1952. And Bukovich has just beaten his own old record. 133.551 is the new record. Following the accident on the northeast turn, Andy Linden was taken to the Speedway Hospital for examination and has been reported not injured. Yellow light was on for 55 seconds. Now Al Bear has some information for us in the pits in the south section. Al?
Yes, it is car number 29, Bob Scott, in one of the Ballon Racing Team specials. He's just pulled into the pits and the mechanics are swarming over the car. At this moment, we can't exactly discern what is troubling the car. Scott is sitting in the car very, very calmly at the moment, but you can imagine his inner feelings as those mechanics work over the car. There's a consultation going on now down here at the very moment. Scott's taken off his helmet and laid it alongside the car, and he's talking to his crew chief, and also one of the AAA officials is here. He's getting a drink, and the car is not being refueled, so it may be that there's some internal mechanical trouble. And inasmuch as this car, number 29, Bob Scott, in the Ballonda Equal Flow Special, is just some 15 feet away from me, he's getting out of the car now, by the way. I should be able to learn very shortly the exact nature of what put the car into the pits, and then I'll be back to talk to you some more. Right now, again, to Sid Collins in the Pagoda.
Okay, Al, thanks very much. We'll be back to you as soon as you're ready with the information. Here's the standing at the end of 17 laps. We have 200 laps to go in this race, so let's all take it easy and stick with it. We have a long day here and an exciting one the way it started. At the end of 17 laps, first, in number 14, Bill Bukovich. Second, the rookie of the year, last year, in number 16, Art Cross. Third, Freddie Agamation, car number 59. Fourth, in number 88, Manuel Ayulo. And fifth, former winner in 1950, Johnny Parsons, driving car number 21. Charlie, I've seen you out there with your stopwatch. I wonder if you've been checking anything that I may have missed.
Well, Sid, I've been catching Bill Bukovich, and he was running on his 17th lap about 10 seconds ahead of the number two man, who was Art Cross. So that is the distance of about the length from the starting line into the southwest turn. And we have noticed that Bill Bukovich, at the end of 10 laps, had picked up $1,500. Of course, he's now leading at the end of 18 laps, so he has a more sizable amount. I think it might be wise, Sid, for the benefit of those who are keeping charts, to run down these official 10-lap standings, and we'll do that in just a moment. I think you have another word there from down in another area. Sid.
Right, Charlie. Thanks very much. I want to pick up Al Berry. He has some more dope on the pits. Al?
Thank you, Charlie. Bob Scott is out of the race in car number 29, one of the Ballonda Equal Flow Racing Team specials, and I had word from one of the AAA officials standing right here in the pits beside me that he lost his oil pressure. It was completely gone. Scott is out of the race now. He's standing very, very disconsolately, as you can imagine, just about 10 feet from me with one foot on the rail watching the rest of the field go by. The car has already been wheeled off the apron and will be taken into the garage area. He's naturally disheartened, downcast, disconsolate, as you can well imagine, to leave the race so early, but such are the fortunes of this classic. So another car has been scratched, number 29, the Ballon Equiflow Special, driven by Bob Scott. Okay, Pagoda, it's all yours.
Okay, Al, thanks very much. Bobby Scott was the next to the youngest driver here in the race. Jerry Hoyt's the youngest, and it seems this age and lack of experience, perhaps, in seniority has made a difference today, although Hoyt certainly proved his mettle with his sportsmanship in spinning off instead of hitting Landy Linden as he could have done there on the track. Bobby Scott hails from Gardena, California, his original home, now makes his home in Los Angeles. You folks listening on KHJ out there in Los Angeles should be as sorry as we are to see Bob Scott in car number 29 in the Ballon Equal Flow Special leave the race so very soon. He was 26th in the AAA ranking this last year. National stock car position was 24th, and the Pacific Coast big car is 11th. Drove in the Morris Special this year, last year, and went 29 positions before he came out of the race. Went out in the 49th lap. And this year, Bobby Scott was driving the Ballon Equal Flow Special, the teammate car, and that of Johnny Parsons, who's doing a fine job right now and sitting in fourth place. And here are the standings at the end of 20 laps. First, I believe Luke Walton has something going down in the pits in the northern section. Luke?
We're just expecting a lot of activity here. We've sent for Andy Linden. He's on his way from the hospital to the pits, and we'll have him for you in just a minute, Sid. That's all we have now from the pits.
Okay, Luke, we sure want to hear what Andy has to say if you can possibly find him down there, that tremendous crowd and that roar. Now, here's the standing at the end of 20 laps. First, number 14, Billy Vukovic. Second, 88, Manuel Iullo. Third, Art Cross in 16. Fourth, Johnny Parsons in car number 21. And fifth, Freddie Agabation in 59. Charlie, do we have some other official information here?
Sid, the 10-lap standings came in just a few moments ago, and it might be well to review those 10-lap standings and also the speed. So for those of you who are keeping charts, we'll bring you up to date. In first place was Bill Vukovic in car number 14. In second place was car number 59, Freddie Agabation, second. In third was Art Cross in car number 16. In fourth was Manuel Iullo in car number 88. Iullo in 88 was fourth. In fifth was Johnny Parsons in car number 21. Car number 3, Sam Hanks, was 6th. Car number 99, Cal Nide, was 7th. Car number 92, Roger Ward, was 8th. And car number 5, Jack McGrath, was 9th. And car number 41, Gene Hartley, was 10th. It was a new track record of 133.551 miles per hour for the 10 laps or 25 miles. Now, of course, those standings have changed somewhat because Bill Vukovic, who just came by, has completed lap number 22. And he has been leading throughout the entire race. So far, he's picked up $3,300 in lap prize money, leading for 22 laps. And we'll check those standings for you and have them for you at 20 laps very shortly, Sid.
You know, Charlie, if this continues this way and Vukovic will win the race the way he started, it would be the first time in history that a man had led from the pace lap right on through the entire race, because Billy Arnold, back in 1930, missed the first and second lap, but led on the third and wasn't led at any time until he received the checkered flag. We'll be back in just a moment, friends, and now a word from your announcer.
In Wisconsin, summer is the time to go places, see things, have fun. And here's a friendly tip for your trip. Start right. Get your car down to your neighborhood mobile gas.
Good talent once again here in the Pagoda, sending it immediately to Al Bear in the pit south section. Al?
It's Walt Faulkner in car number 23, the auto shipper's special, who's pulled into the pits, and the car now is being refueled, and the mechanics have the hood open, and they're diving in there. They're all over that car. The rest of the crew are standing by now with the CO2 extinguishers in the event of fire, and it's really an art to watch these crews work as these cars come into the pits. They're looking quite concerned. Of course, they look concerned about the least little thing during this race, so you can't judge much from that. I can't see Faulkner at the moment because my view is blocked by the fuel tank that they have here to the rear area of the pit. I can see Faulkner now. He's standing up, and one of the AA men, the AAA men, is there, and he's also talking to his crew chief. They're all standing by, and the hood is out, and they're working feverishly over that engine. I'll try to get the cause of that trouble for you just as soon as possible, and then give you the official word when I get it from the AAA man. So in the meantime, it's back to the Pagoda.
Okay, Al. At the end of 24 laps, the first five cars in the following order. First, number 14, Bill Vukovic. Second, 88, Manuel Iullo. Third, 16, Art Cross. Fourth, 21, Johnny Parsons moving up. And fifth, one lap behind, is number 59, driven by Freddie Agabation. And friends, we have a new track record at the end of 20 laps once again. Bill Vukovic in car number 14. In 22 minutes, 26 and 24 hundred seconds, 133.060 miles per hour. The old record was 132.964. So we've had records broken all throughout the day, and if we keep that caution flag down, we certainly would have a new track record for the 500. Vukovic in the first lap got off to 133.097, 7 miles per hour faster than the old record in 1949 held by Duke Nayland, 126. Then in the second lap, Vukovic increased the speed by 4 miles per hour, on the fourth lap by 3, and 10 laps by 1, and here in 20 laps by over 1 mile per hour again. Vukovic has now won $3,000 in lap prize money in addition to setting this new track record. Now back once again to Al Bear in the south pits. Perhaps Al didn't hear me down there. Al Bear, we're trying to pick you up down there. I know the noise is very, very loud. Thought perhaps you might have something on Walt Faulkner, Al.
Thank you, Sid. I have Bob Scott with me, who just went out of the race a few laps ago with some trouble in the number 29 Milan Equal Flow Special. Bob, what was the exact nature of the mechanical trouble?
Well, I lost my oil pressure coming down the home chute here and a little vibration. I thought I'd better cut it off because the pressure got down to 20 pounds and vibrating quite a bit, and I don't think we could have made it.
Just one of those tough breaks that happened in this day.
Yeah, Bob. It's a tough one. I'm sorry to let all of my fans down back home, but I couldn't help it.
You didn't let them down, Bob. After all, there's always that mechanical element to consider, and you certainly did everything you could under the circumstances. And you know the old story in the racing game, you as a veteran know, there's always next year.
Yeah, that's right.
And thanks a lot, Bob. Better luck next trip.
Thank you.
And once again, back to the Pagoda.
Thanks very much, Al, for picking up Bob Scott for us. He certainly didn't let his fans down back home in Gardena and Los Angeles, California. And you folks on KHJ will be pleased to know that Bob is okay, but he's out of the race this year. Now we'll have a brief pause of 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network.
This special broadcast is coming to you as another friendly gas dealer over WTMJ, the Milwaukee Journal station.
Back in Indianapolis once again, Charlie Bruckman has the watches out, and he's checking to see how close behind Bill Vukovich Manuel Aiello is, who's in second place. Charlie, what's the story?
Well, Sid, at about 20 laps, Vukovich was leading Aiello by 8 seconds, which is about half the distance of the straightaway. However, Aiello is cutting that distance down and is running beautifully. There goes Vukovich. Now we'll catch him one more lap. On our last lap that we checked, Aiello was only 6.5 seconds behind. So he's cutting down about a half second a lap. However, he fell back a little bit there, and he's now 7 seconds behind. So Aiello is running a very strong second, with Art Cross also up in there, and Johnny Parsons running in fourth place, just ahead of Freddie Agavation in car number 59, who is fifth. Vukovich was running...
Sid Collins back here in the Pagoda once again, and starter Seth Klein, a boy who weighs over 250 pounds, is sitting down by the starting line, and aside from putting out the yellow flag early in the race when Andy Linden spun and hit the wall, and incidentally has been reported uninjured and is okay, he hasn't put that flag out once. Now, once again, here's Luke Walton in the northern section of the pit area. Luke?
Cal Nide has just driven into the pits. There seems to be something wrong with the motor. They're checking it over out there. And his crew of Heine Worley, George Sally, Frank McCoy, and Buzz Brownell are out there doing something to the motor. They're tightening up a few of those bolts on that motor, and Cal is just sitting there waiting to take off. And there are no tires to be changed. The pit leader, Buzz Brownell, is out there talking with Cal. This is the car that was driven last year by Tony Bentonhausen, as you know. And Buzz Brownell is still conferring with Cal Nighy. There seems to be something wrong with the motor there. They're pulling a spark plug out of that motor, examining it. In fact, they're examining all of the spark plugs to find out what's the trouble that Cal Nighy is having here. This is little number 99, the Miracle Power Stretch, owned by Merle Bellinger, greatest sportsman of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. He's from Crown Point, Indiana. They're taking out all the sportsmen of the motor. Buzz Brownell out there giving us the close checkup before they send little Cal back out on the track. Cal is sitting in there. He's just breathing very deeply. He's all dressed up in a dark navy blue driving suit with the gloves, which are red on the top and gray on the inside, and he wears a white helmet. Now they're lifting the motor up just a little. Looks like they're checking the points, checking the points and the spark plugs. Having a little ignition trouble there with Cal Nighy's car. Now they're taking off that right front tire. This is the first pit stop for Cal Nighy in this race. This is the car that Lee Waller drove to victory 2 years ago. Now they're removing the right front tire. Brownell still talking with Nighy. Nighy is shaking his head like something. That's not the matter. There's something else wrong. And he's gesturing with his left arm about the car moving sideways, from side to side. And they're still adjusting those spark plugs. They have all the spark plugs out of the motor. And they're still working on that right front tire. It's not a feverish action or anything like that. It's just a well-planned action. And sort of a checkup here up in the park by Cal Knight. Of course, on our right here, the boys with the Yale 2. They're getting all ready just in case if anything goes wrong. Now they're bringing that electric starter out. And for those of you who are not acquainted with the electric starter, it's a long shaft on the end of the motor. And it's powered by six great big long 2 feet batteries. They're getting...
Luke, sorry to cut in, but we have a report from Al Vera. Something's happened in the south section of the pits. Al?
At the moment, the action is really getting feverish and at a high pitch here on Walt Faulkner's car, the orange and black number 23 Auto Shippers Special. Chick Hiroshima and the pit crew are in there just about tearing that engine apart, literally. They've had the car up on the jacks one or two times, and Walt Faulkner himself is standing here on the pits, just about 10 feet away from me, with a handkerchief in his hand, his helmet shoved back, mopping his brow, just watching the rest of the field go by. And from what I can judge as an observer, and nothing official, of course, apparently the trouble with that car is rapidly assuming major proportions. He's been in some little time, and all the indications are from the mechanics working like a team of skilled surgeons as they hand one another those tools back and forth. This trouble seems to be serious. They're still working hard on it, and from McGrath's attitude, it doesn't look as though he'll be back in this race for several laps yet to come. I'll keep you posted on it if anything further develops. Now it's back to Sid Collins in the Pagoda.
All right, Al, thank you very much, and thanks to you, Luke. And let's see how Dick Pittenger is doing down there on the south grandstand. Anything for you, Dick?
Here is a very good picture of how these early boys drive a turn as they come in to the south short straightaway and below. Very distinct difference between such drivers as Vukovic and Johnny Parsons and Freddie Eggerman. Some of the leaders. Vukovic, for example, seems to have his pattern set up to drive almost midway into the turns as far as the window. Freddie Agamation takes those turns down inside that white line that marks the inside of the turn. And Johnny Parsons, on the other hand, rides almost up cap to the wall when he comes down through this short straightaway. Nothing like this at all down here.
Send it back to Robin Bright on the back stretch and see if he's getting a pretty good suntan out there.
I'm getting all of that, Sid. A beautiful suntan and seeing a wonderful race out here as well. We've seen some beautiful driving by all the different cars. Seems as though almost every lap we see Bill Vukovic lap another car. And there he goes right now, Bill Vukovic. Most of the cars coming down the backstretch stay to the middle or the outside of the track and really pour it on as they make up time back here. Once in a while, you'll see them check their tires as they go past, too, with the throttle wide open. Now, we've been able to see a couple of cars, Bob Scott and Cal Knighty in 99, Bob Scott in 29, slow down on the backstretch and take the inside. And when we do that, we usually call on the phone there and mention it because it's a good sign those fellows are coming into the pits on the next lap. Well, the sun's still shining, and we're sitting right across from a whole bunch of the state policemen are out here taking care of the this side of the traffic and everything on the back stretch. That just about covers it from here, Seth.
Okay, Robin, stick with it, boy, and we're going to send you up to Jim Shelton on the north turn in just a moment, but first, here are the standings, the present time at the end of 37 laps. First, number 14, Bill Vukovic. Second, 88, Manuel Iulo. Third, 16, Art Cross. Fourth, 21, Johnny Parsons. Fifth, one lap behind is 59, Freddie Agamation. Jimmy, what's the story up there in the north turn?
Well, on the north turn, Sid, everybody's saying, boy, how does that Vukovic do it? He's really doing it in these turns, which, after all, that tests the driver. We have noticed this morning, more so than in past years, there's a lot of fishtailing here in the northeast turn. Fishtailing meaning that the back end whips over a couple of 3 feet each time those boys come around there. Well, I don't know how long these tires can stand it, and I don't know really why they are fishtailing more today than they have in past years. There has been some comment, the reason being that we have a pretty stiff southwest breeze here, which blows right against the boys. And possibly that could be the reason that Andy Linden smacked the wall up there. Could be, we're not sure, and we're here to report when we see things.
Okay, Jimmy, thanks very much. Now back to Luke Walton in the north pits once again.
Luke? Chuck Stevenson just came into the pits and got a drink of water from his crew members, and Clay Smith, the captain of the crew, went Scott out there, took a look at the motor, okayed it. Bill Scroppy, Al Henley, and Pop Rutland put some new tires on the front end, and Chuck was on his way, and he's back on the track. But right down here in the Miracle Power crew, we've had new spark plugs and a new magneto installed in the Cal Nighday car. That's number 99. Now they're putting back the hood on the car, and he's about ready to get underway. He has had the longest pit stop of anybody in the North Pit. Now back to Sid.
Want to thank some folks for sending us telegrams here in our Pagoda Broadcasting booth. Here's one from Bill Sanger, general manager, and Joe Drilling, the sports editor of radio station KMJ. They say Fresno enjoying a fine job on the races. Congratulations. Thanks to you, gentlemen. And from KCLX in Colfax, Washington, from Doc Purnell. Thank you for your wire, sir. And to Bob and Jerry Wormser out there in Los Angeles as well. Well, the standings right now at the end of 39 laps. First is number 14, Bill Vukovich. Second, 88, Manuel Ulo. Third, 16, Art Cross. Fourth, 21, Johnny Parsons. And fifth, 59, Freddie Agavation once again. At the end of 30 laps, or 75 miles, another new track record. Once again set by Bill Vukovich, he broke his old record of 132.768 miles per hour with a new record in the fuel injection special.
Billy Cross at left half back, Pasquariello at full back, the handoff to Pasquariello, hit from the side, he's brought down by Ray Poole, aided by Kennedy. Poole coming in hard and sharp from his right end post, hit him from the side, and Poole hit him from in front and brought Pasquariello down, limiting his gain to about 3 yards. Third down and two to go for the Cardinals, the ball on the 47-yard line of Chicago. 17-14. Cardinals in their bright red jerseys, white helmets. Hand off is to Angsman. Angsman over the middle to the first down, I believe, to about the 49-yard line. Let's see where they mark it. Jens Wallace is the referee. Joe Connell, umpire. The head linesman is Heiberger, Johnny Heiberger. Hank Haynes is the back judge and the field judge, Bill Grimberg. Salida.
McGrath. Jack McGrath has just dropped into car number 23, the Auto Shiver Special. They've wheeled out the trucks. They've taken away the jacks. They're ready to slam the hood. He's pulling down his goggles, and in just a moment, he will be rolling. And you're going to well imagine the feverish activity going on with that crew right now. It's really been something to watch from work. It apparently was a major bit of trouble, and if you can call it a bit of trouble, it was a lot of trouble, but they got the job done. McGrath is in the car and ready to roll. And at the same time, just a very few seconds ago, Roger Ward in car number 92, the M.A. Walker special, pulled into the pits a little further down to my left. I can't get a clear-cut view of what's going on down there, but they are refueling. I can see that much, and the boys are standing by with the CO2 extinguishers. And from all indications, apparently Ward will be in and out of these pits in just a matter of seconds. McGrath now is seated in the car, and they're just about ready to let him roll. And when they do, you'll see him come by. So back to the Pagoda.
Al, stick around a second. Did you say Jack McGrath is getting in 23, or is that Walt Faulkner getting back in his own car?
Walt Faulkner.
Okay, boy. Thanks very much. We wanted to check our records here. Walt Faulkner driving 23. We thought perhaps McGrath might have gotten it to another car since something happened to Walter. Now, Johnny Parsons just went into the pit for his first stop, and other cars are moving into the pits quite rapidly. It's a very, very warm day here, and of course this will show considerable stress and strain on the tires and on the drivers and on these cars. It's about 85 degrees. We have a wonderful sunshiny day. This is the kind of weather that Wilbur Shaw is known for at the Speedway. We've had about 24 days of rain out of the last 33 or 34 days out here at the track. We even took away one of our days of qualification. But today, May 30th, here in Indianapolis, the sun is beaming down, a capacity crowd of better than 175,000. Now, here's the car standing at the end of 40 laps. 40 laps, or 100 miles, one-fifth of this distance. First, number 14, Bill Vukovich. Second, 88, Manuel Ayulo. Third, 16, Art Cross. Fourth, 21, Johnny Parsons. Fifth, 59, Freddie Agavation. And here's little Jimmy Rathman in number two, coming into sixth place. Seventh, number three, Sam Hanks. Eighth, 41, that's Gene Hartley of Roanoke, Indiana. Ninth, 92, Roger Ward. And 10th, 98, Tony Bettenhausen. The time of the leader car was 44 minutes, 51 and 1,400 seconds. Speed, 133.772 miles per hour. A new track record, beating his own old record of 133.08 set last year. Vukovich still has had 8 seconds over car 88, Ayulo, at the end of 40 laps, and still is in the lead from the start of the race on. Once again, back to Al Bear in the South Pits.
And right now, Sid, I'm standing about 10 feet away from Johnny Parsons in car number 21. the other teammate of the Balan Equal Flow Racing Team, and he's undergoing a complete rubber change. They've thrown the car on the jacks and put in four new tires. He paused long enough to take a drink. He's begrimed, perspiring heavily, as you can imagine, and just at this moment he has pulled out of here. It was really a marvelous bit of action, and the tires they removed from the car were wheeled right over my microphone cable, and I got a good look at them, and let me say conservatively that they were completely shredded. He literally burned the rubber right off that car, but they made the switch, and they refueled him completely, giving him new rubber all around, and Parsons is off and running, and I'm returning you once again to the Pagoda.
Okay, Al. Sound like you had a little competition down there with one of those cars starting up right there next to you. In 100 miles this year, Bill Vukovic just broken his own record, 133.772. Last year, at 100 miles, Vukovic was leading and Troy Ruttman was second. Jim Rathman was third. This year, Jim Rathman is sixth at 100. Jack McGrath was fourth last year at this position. McGrath is not in the first 10. Aggravation last year at 100 miles was fifth. This year, Aggravation is also fifth. Last year, Sammy Hanks is sixth. This year, Sammy Hanks is seventh. Last year, Johnny Parsons was ranking in the first 100, and Cliff Griffith, and also Henry Banks. Vukovic has just signaled to his pit crew he wants to come in for a new tire. He's pointed down toward his front right tire. We'll find out from Luke in the pits what happens, because Vukovic's pit is right here, the very first one on the northern section. Vukovic has a lead of a lap or more on all but five of the other drivers. The only cars he's not yet lapped are a Yulo, Aggravation, Hanks, and Hartley, and Rathman. The only five, a Yulo, Aggravation, Rathman, Hartley, and Sam Hanks. Otherwise, Vukovic has a lead of at least one lap on everyone else in this race. Vukovic, in car number 14, has collected $6,000 in lap prizes thus far. The largest field ever to start this 500-mile race was back in 1933, when a total of 42 cars zoomed away from the starting line, but the rules now limit the number to 33, and with this speed, that's plenty on the track. Walter Faulkner came into the pits after 22 laps, stayed in 24 minutes and 35 seconds to put in a new magneto and spark plugs. That's the official report. Walt Faulkner, now back on the track, as Al Vair reported to you a few moments ago. Magneto strap was one of the problems Maury Rose had, if you recall, many years ago when he was still racing here at the track, a three-time winner, and his magneto strap broke with just two laps to go in the race. Well, we've had new records at every single check we've had, 1, 2, 4, 10, 20, 30, and 40 laps. Roger Ward just came into the pits, and here comes Vukovic in for his very first pit stop, and let's see if Luke Walton can give us the information on what goes on down there. Luke, here comes Bill. Evidently, Luke is jumping out there away from his microphone for just a moment to find out, and he'll be along with us in a second. And of course, that takes number 14 off our official board here for the first time today. And perhaps someone else, undoubtedly, who's still on the track, will take over in the first spot for Vukovic. Roger Ward came into the pits for 42 laps. After 42 laps, to change his right side tires. Pit time was 2 minutes and 29 seconds. And Freddie Aggravation will probably be taking over first. We'll check in just a moment, because Manny Ayulo has just gone into the pits. Charlie, what was the difference in speed there at the time Ayulo and Vukovic went into the pit for a stop?
Sid, the lap just prior to it, I checked it on the watch, and Vukovic was leading Ayulo by 7.5 seconds. So it's a very, very close race. And of course, Freddie Aggravation just came by, and Freddie is now leading the race. Vukovic led for 48 laps, and Freddie Aggravation took over the lead when he passed his pit. And on the 49th lap, Aggravation will be in the lead. Now, we'll have these standings for you, and as Sid gave you the 40-lap standings, we'll run them down quickly again. Vukovic was leading. In second place was Manuel Ayulo. Art Cross was in third at the end of 40 laps. In fourth place was Johnny Parsons. In fifth place was Freddie Aggravation. In sixth place was Jim Rathman. In seventh place was Sam Hanks. In eighth place was Gene Hartley. In ninth place was Roger Ward. And in tenth place was Tony Bettenhausen. Now, Freddie Aggravation will be in first place when he comes by again. And there seems to be paper going on the track at the present time. Little yellow slips of paper all over the track, and they're trying to clean them up as best possible. That, of course, could be quite a hazard if it would blow up into the driver's eyes. They're very light pieces of paper that blow very briskly down the track. We're waiting for Aggravation, and when he comes by, he will be the lead car. And as he completes lap 49, he's now on his 50th lap. And when he comes by, he will have earned $300 in lap prize money for two laps. He'll be the leader at the end of 50 laps, and we'll have to see whether or not it is still a new record. Of course, Vukovic has set new track records, and Vukovic is back on the track, as was reported to you. We're waiting for Agavation now to complete lap number 50, and when he comes by, he'll be in the lead and will have earned $300. Agavation in car number 59, the Grand Corps Elgin Piston and Pin Special, entered by the Granatelli brothers of Chicago, Illinois. It's one of those new Curtis Craft.
Well, not known to many people, even race fans, it's a fact that Firestone race tires are not inflated with air, but they use nitrogen. Under Bell's law of physics, all gases expand the same under a given amount of heat, and we have heat here today, but nitrogen is free of moisture, therefore the chances of creating steam, such as would be the case of heat on contact with oxygen, are practically non-existent. And because of this dryness, the buildup pressure inside the tire can be better controlled. Now something's doing in the south pit, so what's the story, Al Bear?
It's Marshall Teague who's just pulled in, Sid, in car number 22, and he's getting a rubber change, and they're squirting CO2 all over the car. Now, a little of the fuel after the refueling spilled over the tail end of the car, so they immediately buried it in the spray of CO2. Everything's under control, however. There's no cause for alarm. Right now, he's talking to his pit crew. He's adjusting his goggles. The crew is working, tightening up his right tires, both front and rear, and it looks like he'll be off and rolling in just a moment's time. A very brief stop, possibly 25 to 30 seconds on the outside. So once again, take it, Pagoda.
Okay, Al, we have a man here who won this race in 1925, Mr. Peter DiPaolo, who comes back for all of them. He seems to love these races and always has a good suntan. Where are you living these days, Pete?
I live out of Los Angeles, Sid.
Well, we have KHJ, the big station out there, carrying our race today.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to be able to be on the station that's out home.
We're glad to have you. You were the first man to drive a race better than 100 miles an hour, weren't you, Pete?
Yes, my average was 101, the first one to average better than 100. The record stood 7 years.
And you were the AAA national champion a couple of times, weren't you?
Yes, 25 and 27.
Do you think our records will be broken today for the 500, Pete?
Well, if they keep up this pace the way Vukovic is, I'm sure that he'll break last year's record. There isn't any question about it.
Being an expert, a driver, and a winner yourself, do you think Vukovic can retain this pace for the end of the race?
I doubt it very much. With the heat out there and the way the wind is blowing, I'm sure it's taking a lot out of the drivers. There's no question about it.
Thank you very much, Pete DiPaolo. Nice to have had you here.
Thank you.
Pete DiPaolo, the winner of the 500-mile race in 1925. You also heard from Uncle Ralph DiPaolo, the winner in 1915. Mel Torme, and we'll have some other guests here in the Pagoda with us as time goes on. Bobby Schweikert in lap 67 was in the pit for 1 minute 33 seconds to add fuel and to change all of his tires. Well, at the end of 60 laps, and that's the equivalent of 150 miles, we did not have a new record, but let's make some comparisons with last year. At the end of 150 miles last year, Bill Vukovic was leading, and he's leading this year. This year, Tony Bettenhausen in car number 98 was second. He was not among the first 10 last year. Freddie Agavation last year was not among the first 10. He's third this time. Marshall Teague, of course, is a rookie. Art Cross was driving in ninth place last year at the end of 60 laps, and this year he's running fifth. Jimmy DeWalt in his first race, he's sixth now. He wasn't running last year, of course. Manuel Aiello was running in sixth position last year. This year, he's in seventh. Sammy Hanks was second at 150 miles in 1952, and he is eighth in 1953.
Reports to me that a car, and I just say a car, I don't know what car it is, went into a slight skid on the northwest turn, smacked the wall, and then whipped across the track and into the infield and out of our view. So it's now on the turf on the inside of the track. We cannot see the number of the car. As soon as we find out more details, we'll tell you. Now back to the Pagoda.
Perhaps we'll have that information right after this brief word from your announcer. Of the race to this time. Here is the standing at 110 laps or 275 miles. First, number 14, Bill Vukovic. Second, number 3, Sam Hanks. Third, 77, Pat Flaherty. Fourth, number 16, Art Cross. Fifth, number 49, Bill Holland. Sixth, number 59, Freddie Agavation's car, now being driven by Paul Russo. Seventh, number 88, Manuel Aiello. Eighth, number 9, Duke Malin. Ninth, number two, Jim Rathman, and 10th, number 22, Marshall Teague. Before those cars out of the race, something's happened in the north turn. The yellow flag's out. Jim Shelton?
Oh, okay, Sid. We've had a bad crash up here. Number 77, Pat Flaherty, smacked the wall real hard, and he is still in the car in the center of the track. He hasn't made a move. We do not know in what condition Pat Flaherty is in. We do know he is unconscious at the moment. I think they are going to try to put the ambulance out on the track. This is going to be a mighty dangerous. They're going to give it a try. Here goes the ambulance out on the track. The drivers here, the other drivers in the other cars, have really slowed down. I imagine they are going no more than 60 or 70 miles an hour here in the turn. Pat Flaherty is hurt, definitely. He is unconscious. He hasn't made a move yet in the car. He is standing there. We have some more information. Hold on a moment. He did go head on in to the northeast turn and then more or less slipped right along the retaining wall, clear down in front of the AAA booth, which is located midway between the northeast and the northwest turn. They are now trying their very best to pick Pat Flaherty out of this car. He hasn't made a move as yet. They're doing their very best, and as we said, the ambulance is now out on the track. Apparently, he's hurt pretty bad. We don't know really to what extent, and we don't want to say. But he hasn't made a move as yet. Now they are pulling a tremendous wrecker out onto the track. It's crossed the track now, and here comes cars going by. Sam Hanks just went by at a speed no more than, we would say, 60 or 70 or 75 miles an hour. Then they pick up speed in the northwest turn again and go down the home stretch. But these boys, the yellow flag is out. They have a AAA man out on the track here now with a yellow flag, and they have one clear up into the northeast turn. So it's caution, caution, and plenty of caution. They have now picked Pat Flaherty out of the car. He is now being put into the ambulance, and as soon as we find out more conditions, we will tell you up here. Before leaving you here, the Pat Flaherty car is really mashed up. The whole front end is mashed in. I imagine he went into the wall at a speed of about 120 or 130 miles an hour. He really went in there because he is coming right out of the backstretch. Then, after he hit the wall head on, he just hugged the outside retaining wall and just kept mushing all the way down till now he is out in the center, that is, between the two turns, the northeast and the northwest turn. He's loaded onto the ambulance. Let's see where the ambulance goes now. It's mighty tricky up here, believe me, because the ambulance is on the track, remember. It's on the track. It's not on the outside of the track. It's on the track. Cars are brushing by it.
Jimmy.
They're going to get out of here. Yes, Sid?
You've been on that north turn for several years now. Have you ever seen the ambulance on the track before?
Seen the ambulance on the track before, Sid. No, the ambulance is now crossing the track, Sid, and going into the infield and on the way to the hospital. Apparently, Pat Flaherty is hurt. He didn't make a move. Not a move. All right. They are doing their very best now. The flags are still out. AAA observers are out in the track, remember, with these flags, with the yellow flag, and of course, the light is on too. Now, they have brought a wrecker out onto the track. The big wrecker, they found out, was just too much. They couldn't maneuver it over this outside wall. They thought it was too much danger. They thought maybe a hitch would pull loose, and the car would go right out in front of one of these other drivers that is coming along here at a pretty good clip, of course. However, we would like to say our hats off to all these drivers. They are really using extreme caution up here, and a great big pat on the back to each and every one of them. Remember, Pat Flaherty's car is out in the center of this track now, and they're going to pull it off. That's about all from here. Pat Flaherty is on the way to the hospital. Sid Collins will tell you his condition later on. Goodbye.
All right, Jim, we'll check officially, because even though he was immobile in the automobile, we certainly don't want to frighten his friends out there in Glendale, California, listening on KHJ. We want to check and get the official report from the hospital, and we'll pass that along as soon as we get it. Until then, we'll assume that Pat is perfectly all right. We've had four accidents now in that north area. Andy Linden, Don Freeland, Gene Hartley, and now Pat Flaherty. And Pat is a boy who's 27 years old and raced back here in 1950 to come in 10th place. Was a roadster racer back in 1950 and 51, and hasn't been doing too much racing since that time. He's single, driving a car this year in a Meyerdrake engine and a Curtis Craft chassis. It's the Peter Schmidt Special, Pat Flaherty, car number 77.
His car was driven by Jimmy Bryan from Phoenix, Arizona last year, and he went to sixth place in it. Sammy Hanks drove with the 12th spot in 1951. Well, now we promised we'd tell you the rundown of the cars out of the race to this point. So, Charlie Brockman, if you'll come in, please.
All right, Sid, I'm going to precede that announcement just for one brief announcement that the leader, Bill Vukovic, stopped on the 113th lap and was in just a minute and 13 seconds and got back out into the lead without losing the lead while he was in the pits. Now the car's out of the race. Car number four, Dwayne Carter, went out after 95 laps. Car number seven, Paul Russo, running in 10th place, went out after 90 laps. Car number 21, Johnny Parsons, that car was running in 6th place when it went out at the end of 87 laps. Car number 29, driven by Bob Scott, went out at the end of 14 laps. Of course, Andy Linden, car number 32, went out at the end of 3 laps. Car number 38, Don Freeland, went out at the end of 76 laps. Car number 41, Gene Hartley, was in 6th place at the end of 60 laps and went out at the end of 54 laps. Of course, those standings work back. He was running quite far behind, but nevertheless, he still had 6th place. Johnny Thompson went out at the end of 7 laps in car number 56. Car number 77, of course, is the recent accident on the North Straightaway, and Pat Flaherty had completed 115 laps when he had his mishap. Car number 97, Chuck Stevenson, went out at the end of 43 laps. And car number 99, Cal Nyday, went out at the end of 29 laps. We noticed car number 98, driven by Tony Bettenhausen, coming by, and it was not Tony in the car. It looked like Chuck Stevenson. Perhaps we'll have the official word on that very shortly. I think Sid does. Sid?
Yes, that's right, Charlie. Chuck Stevenson relieved Tony Bettenhausen in car 98 in the 116th lap. The car came in the pits for a minute and 15 seconds to change tires and add fuel, and this is the third car that Stevenson has driven today, and he's still out there rolling. Now something else on the accident with Pat Flaherty on the north turn, Jim.
All right, Sid, they have pulled this car over now off of the track, and it's right in front of our booth, and believe me, it's really a messed up car. Both of the front tires were not completely off of the car, and the car itself is bent into a V, believe it or not, into a V. It hit that hard. We notice that one of the tires they have now put up into the cockpit, and it's badly worn, and that could have caused the accident. We're not sure whether that tire blew out or not, but it could have been the trouble. It's a very badly damaged car, and as soon as we find out the condition of Pat Flaherty, well, we will tell you. All right, Sid, back to you.
Okay, Jim, we just got the official report, and there's no different than what you've already told us, so you were quite adequate in covering that accident. We did read that the additional caution light time was necessary because of some oil on the track as a result of the wreck, even after the wreck itself had been pulled away. Now, just nail the rules in the pits once again, and here are the official standings at the end of 123 laps. We have 200 laps, remember, in this 500-mile race, 2.5 miles around this track. Number one, car number 14, driven by Bill Vukovic, still in the lead. 2, 16, Art Cross. Third position is Sammy Hanks in car number 3. Fourth, get this now, Bill Holland, the winner of the 49 race in car number 49, is now in fourth place, one lap behind the leader. And number 59, Freddie Agabation's car, now being driven by Paul Russo, is in fifth spot. That's number 59. So it's number 14, 16, 3, 49, 59. Drivers in order, Bill Vukovic, Art Cross, Sam Hanks, Bill Holland, and Paul Russo driving for Freddie Agabation. Now a brief word from your announcer.
We'll pick up the broadcast of the...
Hanks, and they have just flagged Sam Hanks from the pits to tell him to come in and get some relief, and Dwayne Carter has his helmet on, ready to replace Sam. And standing right next to us is the boy who had a little mishap on the north turn, Gene Hartley from Roanoke, Indiana. Gene, how do you feel right now?
Oh, I'm all right.
What happened down there?
Oh, I kept him hitting the guy. I tried to go a little wide.
Pretty hot out there on the track today, Gene.
Hey, pardon?
Pretty hot out there on the track today.
Oh, it's good and warm. It didn't bother me while I was there, but it might be now.
Feel all right now?
Huh?
Feel all right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm
better
all right.
Better tell Ted you're okay, I...
Well, he knows that by now, I think.
I see. Thanks very much, Gene. A pleasure to talk with you. And now Henry Banks, as we told you, has gone down to the Novi pit, and Henry Banks is standing by to relieve Duke Nealon in the Novi car. Okay, Sid, back to the Pagoda.
All right, Luke, thank you very much. That's quite interesting to learn about Henry Banks. He's a boy who's raced here many, many times before and is a great driver. His first race here was way back in 1936. He didn't qualify that year, but he was out here at the track, and the first race he ran was back in 1938. He's one of the real veterans and has done quite well here at the track, although having bad luck as far as the checkered flag is concerned. He was born in Compton, California. Rather, born in England and moved to Compton, California after just a few months and still speaks with an English accent. He came over here at 6 months of age, and we've always kidded Henry about that accent, but he's a great driver, and if anyone could take over that Novi, it would be Henry Banks, if Duke Nealon would have to get relief. Now we'll be back in just a moment. Here's a brief word from your announcer.
Banks is about 20 feet away from me right now, so he can't be in the Novi car. And a moment ago, I saw the Novi crew come ripping down here, way to the south end of the pits, and they grabbed a new exhaust pipe. And they ran all the way back to the pit at the far north end where the Novi is stationed. And a moment ago, Manuel Ayulo was in the pits for a tire change and a refueling job, approximately a 40-second stop. And also car 73, which started out with Carl Scarborough, was here. I believe it's Eddie Johnson is driving it now. And definitely Jim Rathman is driving Bill Holland's car, because I saw Holland walk by me just a few minutes ago. And Bill seemed to be in good physical condition, except that he looked very hot and very tired. And that's it from the south area of the pits right now.
Okay, Luke, what's the story up on the north side this time?
Sam Hanks has just come out of his car, Sid, and he couldn't walk over to the pit at all. He just staggered across the wall and keeled over right here on the concrete, and they're pouring water on him and pouring water down him. He's asking for something to drink. That boy is really suffocated. He is really overheated. He stuck out there with that wheel in that car as long as he possibly could without losing full control of himself and that car. And Wayne Carter has replaced him. Coming into the pit right now is Duke Nealon in the Novi, and Duke is having that exhaust pipe replaced down there, and one of the observers of the AAA is watching him, and replacing the exhaust pipe, it looks like Duke is okay in every other respect. Sam Hanks is getting up now. They're getting him up off the sidewalk, and they're going to take him over to the hospital for some rest, along with Freddie Agabation and along with Johnny Parsons. These boys are really putting on a terrific brand of competition in the 500-mile race this year. Okay, Sid.
All right, Luke, thank you very much. We certainly want to keep up on these relief drivers, and evidently Duke is back in that car. Here are the standings now at the end of 156 laps, which means we have 44 laps to go in this 500-mile race, 200 laps constituting a complete 500 miles around the 2.5-mile track. Bill Vukovich is first in car number 14, second in 16, Art Cross, two laps behind Vuki, and third, Paul Russo in number 59, two laps behind. The fourth and fifth have not been posted as yet. Some more telegrams we'd like to acknowledge from Will Doherty, sales manager, WSRS in Cleveland, Ohio. Also from Modesto, California, from Bill Bates, KTRV in Northern California. They're certainly rooting for Jim Rathman out that way. From George Brewer, 3A representative for the Colorado Zone, from Denver, Colorado. From Jim Doyle and Jim Reisner in Vernon, Texas. They say, here at KVWC, we'd like to hear a few words about Texas. Well, it's big, but there are no drivers in the race from Texas this year. Charlie, you have something over there?
All right, Sid, here are the official standings, or I should say unofficial standings, at the end of 150 laps or 375 miles. The leader is Bill Vukovich in car number 14. In second place, we have car number 88, Manuel Ayulo. In third place, car number 3, Sam Hanks. And we just noticed that Sam got out of the car, and we believe it's Dwayne Carter in car number 3. Now driving relief for Sam Hanks. In fourth place, car number 16, Art Cross. In fifth place, car number 59, which is, of course, now Paul Russo. But on your program is Freddie Agabation.
From the Motor Speedway, it's 90 degrees now here officially. 43% is the humidity. Vukovich is the hottest boy in the place. He's won $23,700 in lap prizes at the end of 160 laps or 400 miles. Freddie Agabation, $300 goes into his jeans right now. He's watching Paul Russo in his car, number 59. In addition to a tremendous race on the track, the folks here in the stands are racing for the concessions, and they certainly should be selling a lot of soft drinks today. They're prepared to sell 90,000 soft drinks, 700,000 hot dogs, 26,000 cups of coffee and 8,000 ham and cheese sandwiches and lots of peanuts, Cracker Jack, and potato chips. Now, once again, we send you all the way to the back of the track, about a half a mile away, to Robin Bright.
Thank you, Sid. Back here on the back stretch, Mike Mazarek, driving number 83, has just pulled off on the inside of the track. Into the infield, he turned around, saw us up here, signaled that he was pulling out, and he's out of the car now.
talking to someone from the infield. He's taken his hat, his goggles off, and he's standing there. He slid just a little bit as he pulled off of the track. We can see him. He's down about 1,000 feet from us right now. And he's raising the hood of the car, looking under the hood to see what can happen. It looks like he may be out of the race. He was limping along as he came out of the south turn. We'll call back as soon as we know anything more, Sid, though you may find out before we do. Now back to Sid Collins in the Pagoda.
Okay, Robin, we'll keep a very close track of you because Mike Nazarick's one of the finest boys and hottest drivers here at the track. He was here in 1951 and came in second and didn't race last year. Now, Bill Vukovich has just pulled into the pits as the leader, and he rolls into the pits, the very first one in the northern end. In just a moment, I imagine Luke Walton will have some information for us down there. Luke? Luke's probably gone over to check, and he'll be back to his microphone in just a moment. There's a lot of space out here, fans, and it's very, very crowded, as you can imagine, with photographers and pit crews and officials around. Back to Mike Nazarick once again from Freeport, Long Island, New York. I imagine the folks listening in Buffalo, New York, and WXRA are interested in knowing what happened to Mike driving the Kalamazoo.
The Iron Man of the 500-mile race of all time, because they flagged him in. And just a little while ago, Henry Banks told me that he was standing by for the Novi relief. And then just about 20 minutes later, he came down to the Vukovich crew, the fuel injection special crew, and they had him with his helmet on, ready to relieve Vukovich. When Vukovich came in, he said he did not want any relief. So he is the Iron Man of the race, and there he goes back on the track. He's in the lead, and he's going to drive it himself without any relief. Sid, this is the hottest day we've had in Hoosier Land since Wilkie accepted the nomination in Elwood back in 1940. Back to the Pagoda.
Bill Frosch has been wandering about the grounds, and he has a word for us from Walter Faulkner, a very great guy, the little dynamo, the mighty might, Walt Faulkner and Bill Frosch. We'll have that interview for you in just a moment as soon as we complete our connection. Here are the standings now at the end of 171 laps. First is number 14, Bill Vukovich. Second, number 16, Art Cross. Third, Paul Russo in 59. Fourth, number 3, Sam Hanks. And fifth, number 88, Manuel Ayulo. Thanks to the wire for the wire to Jerry Allen, the publicity director for the West 16th Street Midget Speedway, a little track right across the street here in Indianapolis from the big track. And they have some fine midget races over there where many of these drivers have had experience and some of them got their start. And also there's going to be a great race tomorrow night, Sunday, at the Winchester, Indiana Speedway, the Midget Speedway, and lots of these boys, believe it or not, are going to be up there to race again tomorrow at Winchester. Mr. Frank Cates is putting that race on. Vukovich is certainly a very stout-hearted and stalwart gentleman. He's a fellow who's quite quiet, non-committal, and is a very strong individual. He hails from Fresno, California. Fuel injection special is the car. KMS is our station out in Fresno on the Motor Speedway Network. And Vukovich reminds us somewhat of Maury Rose. He doesn't have too much to say, but he certainly knows his onion as far as this track is concerned. Bill Holland, driving the Crawford special, number 49, goes into the pits now, points down toward his left front tire, wants some assistance from his pit crew. Bill won this race in 1949, has the most terrific record of any driver on the track, the only former winner left since Johnny Parsons dropped out. In 1948, he came in second. 1947, came in second. 1950, he came in second, won the race in 49 after a long drought. Maury Rose was the boy he fought most of the time. Jackie Holmes has replaced John Thompson in car number 62. Jackie Holmes in for John Thompson in 62 in the 156th lap. You can cross off Mike Nazarick in 83. He was stalled on the backstretch and was pushed into the infield and is out of the race. This was the 12th car to go out. Charlie, I wonder if you can have some information. So, Rob, come on in, boy.
Frank said just a moment ago, we said that the backstretch had been rather unexciting today, and immediately Mike Nazarick went out. Then we saw Bob Swigert slide into the infield as he started into the north turn, and fairly be able to right his car and go on into the north turn. He went into it low and slow, and we don't know just how it came out. Nazarick is definitely out of the race now. He is sitting on his car up by the track and doesn't seem to feel bad about it at all. He's smoking a cigarette, has picked up a soft drink, and is waving to all his buddies as they go by. Now back to the Pagoda.
129.236. 129.236, which breaks the old track record for this distance, set last year by Bill Vukovich of 129.132. The standings, first, car number 14, Bill Vukovich. Second, car number 16, Art Cross. Third, car number 59, Paul Russo, driving relief for Freddie Agavation. Fourth, car number 3, Sam Hanks, only of course that's Dwayne Carter in the car at the present time. In fifth place, car number 88, Manuel Ayulo. In sixth place, we have car number 49, which is being driven presently by Jim Rathman, started by Bill Holland. In seventh place, we have car number 22, Marshall Teague. In eighth place, it's car number 2, Eddie Johnson, driving in relief for Jim Rathman. In ninth place, car number 5, Jack McGrath. And in tenth place, car number 48, Jimmy Daywalt. And here is a word on one of the first 10 cars. Marshall Teague has gone out of the race in the 170th lap. There was no oil pressure in the car. He was running at the time in seventh place. And so that will make 13 cars out of the race. 20 are still running. In car number 49, Jim Rathman was in the 169th lap for 44 seconds to add fuel and change rear tires. They're making these pit stops in remarkable time today when you consider the heat. The heat not only affects the drivers, but it also affects your pit crew. As you know, it's much more difficult to work in this tremendous heat than if it were a little bit cooler. The temperature at last report was something in excess of 90 degrees, or just around 90, and the machines certainly are proving stronger than the men today. 20 cars still racing, and that is almost a fabulous number. We can check for you last year. Running at the finish, we had 19 cars, and 14 cars finished the race. The most cars that ever finished the race was 15, and that was back in 1932. The most cars ever running at the finish was in 1911, when 26 were running. Now back to Sid Collins.
And we pause 10 seconds.
Giving all the signals of the team of the Springfield Welding Special, owned by Bessie Lee Paoli. Now, we talked about the car and the oil. The heat is taking its toll on the oil of the cars, thinning it out. And as you know, there can be no replacement of oil in these cars after they're once on the track. That rule was changed a number of years ago. They can't put any more oil into them. And the oil is thinning out, and that's what caused Marshall Teague to come off the track and go out of the race. Now, about the men who have left the race practically exhausted, here is Irish Oram to give us a first-hand report on those boys, Sam Hanks, Freddie Agavation, and Johnny Parsons. How are they getting along? We're in the hospital, Irish.
Well, they're quite all right. It's just a case of fatigue. The heat, of course, is terrific. The pressure under which they're driving is double terrific. And I believe with this high-powered fuel that they're using, they're getting more than the normal amount of fumes. The boys are coming out of the automobiles absolutely fatigued. Of course, some of them have been able to revive and go back into the cars. We've had two or three relief drivers that are now relieving for relief drivers, and that's the way it's been going. It's the hottest, fastest thing I've ever seen, and it's been a great race. Buki is way out in front, done a wonderful job. Back to Lou.
Thank you very much, Irish. That was Irish Horan of Irish Horan's famous Hell Drivers, who is watching the race from the pits this year. Now back to the Pagoda.
Cross by almost two laps. He's just a little less than two laps ahead of Art Cross, and we clocked them just about two laps ago, and apparently that pit stop gave Vukovic enough of a respite that he's really pouring it on at the moment. He turned a lap at 132.3 compared to Cross on the same lap of 109.7, and that is a speed of 129.1. So Vukovic is running about 3 miles an hour faster than Cross at the moment and picking up about 2 seconds per lap. And he already leads by almost two laps. He's a shoe-in unless something happens. Art Cross, of course, is running in second place, and the third place car is being driven by Paul Russo, car number 59. Once again, here's Sid.
Jackie Holmes is out of the race in lap 166 officially due to losing oil. This is the 16th car out of the race. Jimmy Bryan in the 153rd lap was in the pits for 2 minutes, 25 seconds to change tires and add fuel. He's still running. Be back in just a moment. Now a brief word from your announcer. We do not have a new track record at the end of 450 miles, but it's close. 128.548. Last year, 129.253 was the time. At this point, 3 hours, 30 minutes, and 2 25 hundred seconds. Here are the standings of the first 10 cars at the end of 450 miles. Officially, we are now in the 186th lap on the actual racetrack. These are the official times at the present time. They're in the south turn.
Well, Sid, I feel like I should have bought a ticket. There has been to do down here on this end of the track. That doesn't mean that it hasn't been an exciting seat all day, because you do get a view of both turns.
turns down here, and the dueling in there is terrific. And right now, one of the most interesting things that we've been watching is the steadiness of Luke here who rides around. We certainly know now what they mean by saying about that guy, that he's a fellow who loves to put his foot in it and turn left and hopes that it holds together, because that's what he's done today. Back to you, Sid.
All right, thank you very much, Dick Pittenger, and I know you've had an exciting time down there watching the cars maneuver those turns. That's one of the hottest spots on the entire track. Of course, everything's hot today, and that wasn't meant to be a pun with the sun beating down. On the backstretch, once again, here's Robin Bright.
A lot of sun out here, too, Sid. We've been impressed by the careful way the drivers have been driving the south turn. Perhaps the accident during the qualifications has made them be a little more careful down there. But they have been very careful, staying well away from the wall, and then really pouring it on down the backstretch here and on into the north turn. Really keeping warm and enjoying reports from everyone else around the track, too. And now back to Sid Collins.
Thank you, Robin, for enjoying the broadcast. Send us a wire. I'll read it. Now, here's Jim Shelton on the north turn. I think Jim will agree with me. One of the reasons there have been more accidents on the north than on the south turn today have been because these cars accelerate so fast up the back straightaway. Going into the south turns, they slowed down because of the bricks here in the main stretch and what has been considered a bump going into the southwest turn. They found it was a mythical bump because the drivers came out here expecting to find it smooth all the way around the track as they have in the past, and perhaps had forgotten what it was like last year. And of course, we have some drivers who haven't driven here for several years, and also many rookie drivers in this year's competition. But on the back stretch, going into that north turn, Jim Shelton has seen just about all of the dangerous action. And let's have another word from you, boy.
Well, Sid, I'm very happy to report right now that these cars have stopped, or most so, the fishtailing that has been going on earlier in the race. And I think the reason for this is that so much rubber has been put on this northeast turn that it's more or less holding the cars to the turn. And we're mighty happy to report that. We don't want to see any more accidents up here. We've seen enough for the day. We'll throw it back to you now, Sid.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. Duke Nalen, in the 173rd lap, was in the pits for 1 minute and 39 seconds to add water. The engine was overheating. And strangely enough, in races in the past, Duke Nalen's dropped out quite early compared with what he's done today. Here in the race today, he's still going in his 176th lap at the present time. And back in 1952, last year, he went out at 84 laps, 51, 151, 49, did 23 laps. In 1948, he finished and came in third. In 1947, the Iron Duke did 120 laps, and back in 46, back in the Maserati, he did 45 laps. And in 41, that was the first race after the war, that's the reason for that comment, back in 1941, just before the war, came out at 173 laps, in 40, 120, and was flagged down at the end of 198 in 1938. So Duke is really rolling out there today, and we emphasize Duke Nalen because he's the veteran, the oldest driver, not in age, but in experience here at the track, this being his 10th race. And I imagine Henry Banks would love to have gotten in that car if he possibly could have, but knowing Duke, he wanted to go out there, and I imagine, sincerely, in memory of his teammate, Chet Miller. Well, we've had the yellow caution flag out during the race today. Four times, a total of 9 minutes and 28 seconds. The first accident, 55 seconds. The second, 60 seconds. The third, 43 seconds. And Pat Flaherty's bad accident on the north straightaway, 6 minutes and 50 seconds. Well, the accident, the towing of the car, and the cleaning of the track. Car number 49, Jim Rathman, in the 178th lap, who relieved Bill Holland, went out of the race due to a broken cam gear. And that leaves 16 cars still running. Bill Holland was relieved by Jimmy Rathman, who dropped out earlier in car number two in the Travel On Trailer Special. And now we have the standings at the end of 191 laps. 9 laps to go. Number 14, Bill Vukovich is first. 2 laps behind him. Number 16, Art Cross. Also 2 laps behind Bill, and that's the standing for all five, the other four, rather, of the first five, is 59, driven by Paul Russo. Number 3, driven by Dwayne Carter, is fourth. And number 88, Manuel Ayulo, is running fifth. Charlie, this reminds me a great deal of last year's race. Vukovich was much closer to the second car, Troy Ruttman, but he was in three last year. And it was a 190-second lap that knocked him off last year. So let's find out what happens. Not that we anticipate that happening today, but just as a matter of comparison, Vukovich is now starting his 190-second lap. 8 laps to go. I think this has been a far better race than last year's race, although the competition for first place hasn't been as great. The fact that any one man can get out this long and stay out this long, I think is a compliment to his courage, his daring, and his driving ability.
Right, Sid. The competition has been terrific for the second, third, and fourth spots, as is indicated by our 10-lap standings. Art Cross and Sam Hanks, and of course Dwayne Carter is now in there, and Paul Russo in Freddie Agabation's car number 59 have been shuffling back and forth. And right now, Art Cross was in second place, and we're going to have to check to see whether or not he retains that second place, because he did go into the pits, or pulled down along the apron on his 186th lap. And as I look across the way at the big scoreboard, he has completed 189 laps, while Vukovic has gone 192 laps. And that compares with 189 for Dwayne Carter in car number 3, and also 190 for car number 59. We suspect that 59 is in second place, but we'll check on it. Now back to Sid.
Charlie, I'm going to leave you now, and you're going to take over for the rest of the race and enjoy the signaling of the checkered flag for someone here in a very few minutes. But we'll have to make our way through this tremendous crowd of several hundred thousand all the way down to the victory lane area.
Running up in the first five most of the time, Manuel went out on lap number 184 when the car threw a connecting rod, and that left 15 cars running in the race. Art Cross in lap number 187 was in the pits 59 seconds to add fuel and change right side tires. And during this stop, relief driver Paul Russo in car number 59 took over second place. And that, of course, was the standing that we gave you. Now, we apparently are going to have a switch in the distance between the cars, but apparently the first five remains the same with the possible exception of one car. Bill Vukovic has completed his 196th lap. Bill Vukovic, only four laps from the finish. He just went by, running just a little bit ahead of Duke Nalen in car number 9. Of course, Duke is quite a distance behind. He has only completed 181 laps. Well, here are the standings at the end of 190 laps, or 475 miles, and the speed, 128.673 miles an hour. 128.673, and this compares with last year's record of 129.266. The last lap, and the next time around he'll get the white flag from starter Seth Klein. Seth Klein is down there with chief steward Harry McQuinn and also the assistant starter Bill Vandewater. Now we're waiting for Vukovic. Coming by right now is Jimmy Daywald in car number 48, and Daywald completes lap 192. Now we're waiting for Vukovic. This is a great finish for this race for Bill Vukovic in car number 14. He first made his appearance here at the Speedway in 1951, and here he is getting the white flag, Bill Vukovic. He has one more lap to go, and of course he's going to be hanging on. We have the watch on him. We'll check his speed on that last lap. The next time around, he'll get the checkered flag. Car number 59, being driven by Paul Russo, is in second place, more than two laps behind. Car number 16, being driven by Art Cross, is more than three laps behind. And car number 3, being driven by Dwayne Carter, is in fourth, more than three laps behind. And the next car is six laps behind, in fifth place, Jack McGrath. Well, Vukovic is over on the backstretch, going down the backstretch, and very shortly he'll be coming around now to take the checkered flag. They have a big card with number 14 and the checkered flag. Vukovic has led 197 laps, and if he completes this last one, he will have led the race 198 laps with the only other leader, Freddie Agabation, in car number 59. Now, Vukovic has been out 50 seconds. He'll be coming around in a matter of 20 seconds. He's probably in the north turn right now. We're watching for him to come out of that northwest turn. He's been gone about a minute. He should be coming down the straightaway. Here he comes, getting the checkered flag, Bill Vukovic. And he gets a tremendous cheer from the crowd. He waves to the crowd as he goes by. Car number 14, Bill Vukovic, has won the 1953 500-mile race, and here was his time on that last lap, 1 minute 8 and 8 tenths seconds for a speed of 130.814. He didn't ease up a bit. And the record is going to be slightly lower than last year's. Due to this tremendous heat here, the tire wear and also the fatigue on the drivers forced all of them to make at least three pit stops. Vukovic's pit stops came in the 48th lap, the 113th lap, and the 171st lap. Now we'll be watching for Paul Russo in car number 59. He has completed 197 laps, so he has three laps to go. Bill Vukovich, the winner of the 1953 500-mile race from Fresno, California. And I know that his wife, Esther, and his two children, Marlene, who is 11, and William, who is 9, are very, very happy. And very shortly, as soon as Bill pulls into Victory Lane, we'll have an interview with Sid Collins down there to interview Bill Vukovich. Bill started his racing career in 1938 at Fresno in a midget race. His first 3A race was that same year at Gilmore Stadium. Here is an announcement that we regret to make, a very unfortunate announcement. Shortly before the race was over, Carl Scarborough of Clarkston, Michigan, driver of car number 93, died in the Speedway Emergency Hospital due to the effects of heat exhaustion. He had been relieved by Eddie Johnson after completing 70 laps. He had been under constant treatment and medical attention since the instant he left the car. We'll repeat, Carl Scarborough of Clarkston, Michigan, driver of car number 73, died in the Speedway Emergency Hospital due to the effects of heat exhaustion. And so that is a very sobering announcement that, of course, we hate to make, and we know that that takes some of the joy out of this win for Bill Vukovich. Well, now we're watching for the number two car being driven by Paul Russo. He has completed 198 laps, and very shortly he will be getting the white flag. Paul Russo will be getting the white flag very shortly as he completes lap number 199. Victory Lane.
Victory Lane, we're right next to the car driven by Billy Vukovich, the winner of the 1953 500-mile race. He's accepting congratulations from Wilbur Shaw. Wilbur's taking his gloves off right now, and Billy's face and arms are really covered with grime and soot and dirt in the windshield of this car as well. And all the conversation you're hearing in the background, of course, is coming through the microphone, and he's taking a great big long gulp out of this silver goblet with his water from Wilbur engraved on it. We're going to give him a chance to rest and get his breath, and then we're going to have a word for our coast-to-coast audience for him. As soon as he gets this strap out, I want to give Billy a chance to get his hat off, which he's doing right now. He's taking the helmet off, and the thing is really scarred, and boy, does he look like he's had a day out here. Wilbur Shaw whispers a few comments, and his wife, Esther, is right here to whisper a few words. He's going to give a great big kiss to his wife. He's sitting up there in the back of this car, and he's going to give that kiss. And we're going to wait a few seconds, folks, since we're right next to the car, before we talk to Billy Vukovich, the winner of this year's 500-mile race. He's going to give his wife a kiss over here. He's taking a look at Jane Greer on this side. He's pointing to his ears as he can't hear a single thing. There goes the big kiss for Esther. Now one for Jane Greer. And that's a long one, too. And now they're both going to give Billy a kiss at the same time for the benefit of the photographers. The big Ford Warner trophy's here and back. And now Billy, after he can't hear a thing, he's pointing to his ears. He's taking another great big gulp out of this silver goblet that says water for Wilmer. And now, Bill, if we can, Esther, would you tell Bill to move over here so we can get a word from Bill? Coast to coast, can you say just a word about how you feel on winning the race?
Oh, it feels all right. Everybody's happy to win.
Bill, did you think you'd want relief any time in the race? Think you want relief any time in the race?
No.
Never want a relief. There's an Iron Man, folks, and he's really tired and he can't hear a single thing. And now the newsreel people want to take a picture. And I think I'll get a word from Miss Jane Greer here saying to my right, is this a thrill for you?
I just struck oil here.
You just struck oil. That's one of the best comments today, Jane. Thank you very much. And then when some more pictures are taken, I want to lean across the car if I can and talk to Esther Vukovich. But as you can imagine, the confusion down here is completely tremendous. All the newspaper men are around, and these photographers will be grinding away here for a long, long time. Morton Downey's right behind me here, the popular singer, Mr. Raymond Firestone, who's been talked about a great deal today because of his tires, is across the way. Mr. Carl Stockholm, the Olympic bicycle riding champion, is down here. And, of course, the pit crew, there's Herb Porter over there and lots of other members of the pit crew. Now I want to reach across the way.
Is the heat Esther,
can we have a word from you, Esther?
Pretty damn hot.
How are you, Esther? Are you pretty thrilled?
I feel wonderful.
You know, we had dinner together last Sunday night, and I told you Bill might come too, you know?
Yes, I remember that.
And I sure am happy for you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Esther Vukovich. I think we'll move out of the way here and get somebody else in and give them a chance and try to move back and talk to a few more of these celebrities if we possibly can. You folks have no idea whatsoever how much confusion there is down here in Victory Lane all the time. But we have had a chance to talk with Esther Vukovich and with Bill Vukovich and also with Miss Jane Greer. And Bill is having a great big drink of a soft drink now as he stands up in the cockpit, and they're getting more and more pictures all the time.
I think that's just about everything we can cover from down here in Victory Lane, except I want to get Mr. Raymond Firestone on the air because we talked so much about tires today. Firestone, Sid Collins, talked to you yesterday at your party over here at the clubhouse. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Well, I think that tires and motors and endurance of men was probably one of the most important things in regard to this race today.
Well, I think it was. With the heat and the conditions that they had to go on and do, the way the men stood up were wonderful, and I think mechanically the tires and all the machine, I think it was marvelous that the way that they stayed up into this grueling grind today, and it really was grueling today, wasn't it?
It certainly was, Rob. Yes, thanks very much, Mr. Firestone. I know your company did a great deal to make this the success that it was today. Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to send it back now to the pagoda and work our way back to conclude.
Who is driving number 9, Charlie? Will you come in? Is that Duke Nalen yet?
Yes, that's still Duke Nalen.
Well, Duke Nalen and number 98, who's driving 98 at the present time?
Gene Hartley was in 98.
Well, Gene Hartley and Duke Nalen kind of got into it up here. Neither one of them are injured, however, and it looks as though they're both in good shape. However, their cars are not in too good a shape. Gene Hartley's car, number 98, the wheels are going every direction, but the right direction. They're both on the inside of the track. Duke Nalen more or less went clear across the track and up against the fence. But neither driver apparently is hurt. The race is just about over with. As a matter of fact, it is. And it's unfortunate that those two got in a mix-up here on the northeast turn. There's been a lot of excitement here. And you know, one amazing thing. We've seen a lot of wrecks here. And it's amazing, truly amazing, how these fellas can have these awful crashes head on into the walls and everything else and get up and walk away. I can't figure it out. Maybe you can. All right, Charlie.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much for a fine report. And now, fans, a brief word from your announcer. Close to the old one. The average speed was 128.740 miles an hour, which compares with Troy Ruttman's average of last year of 128.922. The heat was just too much today to account for a track record, although the race certainly started faster than last year, and they broke every record up until 50 miles, when due to the caution light being on, they had to slow down somewhat. The prize money for Bill Vukovich probably will exceed $75,000, which is a new all-time record, although the exact figures will not be announced until the victory dinner tomorrow night. And we have the information on the lap prize money somewhere among all of our bulletins, which have been hurriedly coming in here. Bill Vukovich won $29,700 in lap money, while Freddie Agabation won $300. Vukovich led 198 laps here. The only time that Vukovich went out of the lead was when he made his first pit stop at 48 laps. And at that time, Freddie Agabation went into the lead, led the 49th and 50th laps, and Vukovich was back in there to take over on the 51st lap, and that was it for the rest of the race. Vukovich made 3 pit stops, which exceeds most of the predictions for a winner. He made his stops on the 48th lap, the 113th lap, and the 171st lap. But if you'll recall, we mentioned at the time that he was making that last pit stop that it was very likely it was just a precautionary one, that he wanted to make sure, while he still had a 3-lap lead, that he would have enough fuel and enough tires to finish the race. And so he did make a pit stop. It lasted only 50 seconds. Gene Hartley in car number 98 hit the wall on the north straightaway, and Duke Nalen in car number 9 spun onto the infield in order to miss him. Neither driver appeared to be injured, but the race was stopped immediately by the red flag because of the accident. And that, of course, coincides with the report, not only of Jim Shelton, but our report from up here and our analysis of the situation. Now, here are the first 5 finishers, and the official figures, I should say the unofficial figures, will be coming out very shortly. Nothing, you know, is official until the timers and scorers have had a chance to go completely over all of these records and check them from start to finish. They sit down tonight as soon as they can get back to a quiet hotel room somewhere or down to the Speedway office, and they run this entire race from start to finish, lap by lap, making every check of pit stops, times for each car on every lap to make certain that they have everything exactly right. And then the announcement comes out officially sometime tomorrow. But unofficially, here are the first 5 cars. Vukovich, of course, was first. Second was Paul Russo driving for Freddie Agabation in car number 59. Third was Art Cross in car number 16. And fourth was Dwayne Carter driving for Sam Hanks in car number 3. And fifth was Jack McGrath, who drove a beautiful race and finished fifth. You know, before this race, many people were...